Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 for our short Bible reading today. Paul and Silas are on the second missionary journey, and the Lord is leading them and guiding them in the direction in which He wants them to go. And this portion of Scripture is very interesting, and I pray that the Lord will bless the reading of it to our hearts. We're just going to read a few verses, and we'll commence our reading at verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Underline that last little phrase there. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word to all of our hearts. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. There's a few familiar verses at the end of that chapter that I want to read to you. Very simply today I want to preach on the subject, the harvest fields. The harvest fields. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. We read these words, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in prayer again and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth today. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for this challenging passage of Scripture. And oh God, we thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful truth that it contains. And we pray today, Lord, as we would turn to this sacred passage of Scripture, that you would come, Lord, and speak to all of our hearts. Oh God, we recognize that we need thee in these days more than we've ever needed thee. We pray, Heavenly Father, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us, but especially to your own saints. Oh God, we pray that you would bless your own people. We thank thee, Lord, for saving us and for redeeming us by your precious blood. We thank thee for Calvary today, and we know that Calvary covers it all. We praise thee for the sacrifice that was made there. We thank thee that you laid down your life a ransom for the many. You have redeemed us for time and for eternity. But oh God, our lives, they've been bought with a price, and they're not our own. They belong to thee. We pray, O God, in these days that you would help us, Lord, to serve thee with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. For, Lord, the night cometh when no man can work. We thank thee for the wonderful privilege it is to serve the Lord. We pray, O God, even from this congregation, indeed all of our congregations, Lord, in these days that you would call out young men and young women into the harvest fields, the spiritual harvest fields of this world, and thrust them forth that they might go The call of God to seek to win souls for Christ. Oh God, bless us therefore as we would turn to thy precious truth. We pray, Lord, that we might know the infilling of God the Holy Spirit in our lives this day. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. The harvest is a time when we remember that wonderful promise of God to this world in the days of Noah after the flood. In Genesis 8 verse 22, God said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." And men and women, God has and will continue to keep this promise until the end of time. There's no doubt that the natural harvest is important and vital to the survival of mankind upon this earth. And again, as we look around us, we can see that the Lord has fulfilled that promise, and he will continue to fulfill that promise right until he comes again. However, when the Son of God walked upon this earth, the Savior drew his disciples' attention to the spiritual harvest. These words that we have here in Matthew chapter 9 were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. Here in this passage of Scripture, Christ is speaking about a harvest that is spiritual, and the importance of the disciples serving the Lord in that spiritual harvest. Child of God, soul winning should be the business that all of God's people are engaged in. This world will soon end, and only what's done for the Lord Jesus Christ will last. We're all familiar with that text in Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Therefore, the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 9 are words that you and I need to pay particular attention to, because they are revealing unto us the Christian's responsibility of laboring in God's harvest fields. Very simply today, as we come to consider this passage of Scripture and these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to draw your attention to a number of things. And I pray that as we consider this subject and look at this passage of Scripture, that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts, and especially to those of us in the meeting today who are saved and born again of the service and saved by the grace of God. The Lord has saved us to serve him. And as we have emphasized already, we have only one life, and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Jesus will last. What do we learn here? What do we see in this passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the concern that Christ expressed here. The concern that the Savior expressed here to his disciples was that the laborers were few compared to the greatness of the harvest. Look at the end of verse 37. They're familiar words, I'm sure, to most of us, if not all of us. Underline them in your Bible. It says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but," and what a but it is, "but the laborers are few." The Lord Jesus spoke these words after seeing the great spiritual need of the people, after viewing the multitudes who were shepherdless, these multitudes who had no one to guide them in the truth. Look at verse 36, and you'll see this. "And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." As Christ looked out upon the people, he saw a great need, a spiritual need. The harvest was great, but the laborers were few. And the Savior was greatly moved and concerned about this. The Pharisees and scribes, who were the so-called spiritual shepherds of Israel, had failed in their duty. Indeed, they were blind leaders of the blind. And Christ condemned them as unfit shepherds. Take the time to read Matthew chapter 23 and also Matthew chapter 7. you will see there very clearly how that the Pharisees and scribes were unfit shepherds. And instead of leading the people into truth, they were leading the people into error. Child of God, if the Lord was concerned about the great need, surely you and I need to have a concern as well. The truth is, souls are dying in sin, and there are few to tell them the truth. And there are many false shepherds spreading a false gospel. When Christ walked upon this earth, he impressed upon the hearts of his disciples the greatness of the harvest and the urgency of soul winning. He impressed upon them their duty and responsibility of preaching gospel truth in a world that was dying in sin. But he also pointed out to them that the laborers were few. Turn over to John chapter 4. Again, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. But look what Jesus said in verse 35. And again, he was thinking about the greatness of the harvest. And he said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And in John 9 verse 4, Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Oh, child of God, as I have emphasized there, we are saved to serve. We are saved to be witnesses for Christ. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ told his own disciples before he ascended back up into heaven in Acts 1 verse 8? He said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Are we witnessing for the Master? Are we telling others of Jesus, the mighty to save? Well, here the Savior, as he considers the great multitudes, as he considers the spiritual harvest, and as he considers the smallness of the labor force, he expresses a concern. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will give us, you and I, who are saved, a concern for the harvest fields. It's a lovely hymn. It goes like this: "So little time the harvest will be over, our reaping done, we reapers taken home, report our work to Jesus, Lord of harvest, and hope he'll smile, and that he'll say, well done. The harvest white with reapers few is wasting, and many souls will die and never know the love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, let us weep and love and pray and go." And then the chorus goes like this: "Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to win. Oh, then to save some dear ones from the burning, today we'll go to bring some sinner in." Oh, the concern that Christ expressed: the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. But notice something else here. Take a look at Matthew chapter 9 again, and take a look there with me at verse 38, and you will see that the Lord gives a command here. You'll notice the command that Christ gives. The command that Christ gave to his disciples was that they were to pray. They were to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest fields. Verse 38 says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Now this, I believe, is a command. It's not an option. He was commanding the disciples to pray. To pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. This command, of course, was personal. Because he said, "Pray ye." We as individuals, therefore, must pray. We have a responsibility to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into these harvest fields. Here is our first responsibility, and here is our first duty. Indeed, before we go, we must pray. This command, it was pressing. It was not only personal, but it was pressing because the need for laborers is great right now. Why has there ever been a time when the need has been greater? Even when we consider our own province of Ulster, this island of Ireland, we look around this United Kingdom, the need is great. The need is great. Think of our own situation, even in the Free Presbyterian Church. Many of our churches without a minister, and you can identify with that. And we need to pray that more young men will be called of God to go into the ministry. We need to make this a matter of continual prayer. This is an urgent matter. And of course, Christ, as we have already pointed out, he commands us to pray. What about the mission field? We need more missionaries. Think of the mission fields of this world connected with our own church, Kenya, Uganda, Spain, and many other places. My, again, we can see that this is an urgent matter, and Christ would command us, you and I, child of God, who are his disciples, to pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth more laborers into the harvest fields. Truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, will soon come again. Therefore, let us heed this command and let us seek the face of the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. That's why it's important, of course, to come to the prayer meetings week by week in the church and to pray. Of course, it's important to pray at home in our own private closet. Important to seek the face of the Lord for these matters when we're alone with the Lord as well. But how important it is to remember the prayer meeting through the week and to come and meet with other believers and other disciples and other Christians and to bring this pressing matter before the Lord for more laborers to go into the harvest fields. Now I know that every Christian cannot be a missionary and every Christian cannot be a minister or a full-time Christian worker. But one thing that every Christian can do, every Christian can pray. Child of God, there's no greater work that you can do than pray. Pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest fields. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. The Lord Jesus Christ said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then, of course, when God sends forth the laborers into the harvest fields, we need to continue to pray that God will bless and prosper the laborers as they go and serve him. Paul was very conscious that after God called him to be a missionary, that he needed the continual prayers of God's people as he served the Lord. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment and you'll see this. Again, they're familiar words. But you will learn here very simply how Paul desired the prayers of God's people. So not only must we pray and ask the Lord to thrust more laborers into these harvest fields, but when the Lord thrusts laborers into the harvest fields, then we are to continue to remember them around the throne of grace that the Lord will give them help and strength. And of course, I'm quite aware that you pray for our missionaries and you pray for our students and you pray for our ministers. And if there's a day and age when we need to continue to pray for those in full-time service, those in the Lord's work, then it is this day and age in which we live. Because we're living in hard times, difficult times. In many respects, the tide is out. We need to pray that the Lord brings the tide in. But until the Lord brings the tide in, until the Lord brings days of blessing again, days of revival again, we need to continue to remember those who are laboring in hard places and at a hard time. Look what Paul says, verse 18 of Ephesians 6. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. In other words, Paul says, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Oh, how the apostle desired the prayers of God's people. Oh, child of God, here's the command of the Savior. And he's looking out into the harvest fields, and he's seeing the multitudes, and they're shepherdless. The Pharisees and the scribes have failed them miserably. And as he looks out, he begins to speak to the disciples, recognizing that it is the disciples' job to go forth and labor among the multitudes. And as he draws their attention to the concern that he has, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few, he says this, he commands them to pray. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest fields. And of course, I believe they did pray. And of course, what happened when they began to pray? The Lord touched their lives. The Lord used them. And a great work was done for time and for eternity. And all you have to do is to read the book of Acts, and especially the beginning of that book, and see how the Lord moved in mighty way on the day of Pentecost, and the gospel was preached, and these disciples who had prayed for laborers to be thrust forth, all of a sudden they found themselves as those laborers going forward with the message of the gospel, seeing the power of God demonstrated in a mighty way. And you know, many times that's what happens when we get a burden to pray, and when we obey the command of Christ to pray for laborers, all of a sudden the Lord begins to touch our lives, begins to give us a burden. And then very soon we find ourselves as one of those laborers. You see, the third thing I want you to notice here from this text of Scripture is this. Not only the concern that the Savior expressed, and not only the command that the Savior give here, but I want you to notice the challenge that Christ presents. The challenge that the Savior presents in this passage of Scripture, I believe, is that we must be prepared to go and serve the Lord as laborers in the harvest fields. Now, I know, as I have said already, it is not possible for everyone here to go into full-time service. But surely there must be someone here who would be willing to go and serve the Lord full-time in his harvest fields. Surely there must be someone in this vast gathering today who would be willing to go to Bible college and prepare for the Lord's work. Surely there must be someone here today who would be prepared to go and be a missionary, to go and be a children's worker, to go and be an evangelist, to go forth and serve the Lord and spread the message of the gospel. You know, child of God, I believe that the greatest priority in the Christian life is to find out God's will for our lives. The greatest privilege, I believe, in the Christian life is to do the will of God in our lives. And the greatest peril in the Christian life is to live in God's second best. The Apostle Paul was a man who did the will of God in his life, and he was a man who knew the will of God for his life. Do you know why Paul did the will of God in his life? Do you know why Paul knew the will of God for his life? Because he was a man who was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. Now turn back to those verses that we read in Acts chapter 16. At the moment in our church in Bethel, we're studying through the book of Acts. We've been studying through this book all of this year, and we'll probably finish the year and continue into next year studying the book of Acts. There's so much in this book. And here in this 16th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul, along with Silas, they're on the second missionary journey. The second missionary journey. And in this portion of Scripture, Paul wants to go a certain direction. He wants to go to Asia. But the Lord wants Paul to go in another direction. Paul wants to go to Asia, but the Lord wants him to go to Macedonia, down into Europe. Let's read the verses again. Look at verse 7, and you'll see how sensitive that the apostle was to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. Verse 6 rather. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. They wanted to go to Asia then, they wanted to go to Bithynia. But look what it says at the end of verse 7. But the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Now, underline these words. Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Here was a man who wanted the will of God. He was a man who knew the will of God. And although there were times in his life that he thought, well, maybe this is the will of God, going down to Asia. Maybe this is the will of God, going down to Bithynia. He never dared took one step until he knew the mind of God, the Holy Spirit. But I'll tell you this, once the Lord led him and guided him, he wasn't long until he was marching down to Macedonia. Oh, child of God, here's the challenge for you and I. Finding out God's will for our lives and doing it. The Lord needs laborers in these harvest fields. I wonder today in this congregation, is the Lord setting his hand upon some young woman or some young man or some older person for that matter? Maybe the Lord has been dealing with you, speaking to you, directing you into some sphere of service. You know, child of God, there's a difference between the general will of God for our lives and the specific will of God for our lives. I wonder, do you know the difference? It's the general will of God for all of us to obey His commandments, to live according to His truth. It's the general will of God for us all that work of sanctification might be done in our lives day by day. And when we read the Bible and study the Word of God, the Lord directs each and every one of His people how they are to walk and how they are to live and how they are to walk day by day in the Christian life, the general will of God for us all. But then there is the specific will of God for you as an individual and the specific will of God for me as an individual. Now, it is God's specific will for me to serve Him in Enniskillen, because that's where He's called me to. Where is it God's specific will for you to serve Him? My friend, only you can find that out. Only you can know that. I can't tell you where the specific will of God for your life is. I can tell you what the general will of God is for your life, as I can tell every Christian what the general will of God is for our lives. But I can't tell you what the specific will of God is for your life. It was God's specific will for Paul and
for Silas in Acts chapter 16 at this particular time to go down into Macedonia and to bring the gospel to Europe. And of course we can see the blessing when we read on down the chapter, how the Lord moved in a mighty way, saving Lydia and the Philippian jailer and many others. I will tell you this, that if you want blessing in your life, find out God's specific will for your life. Young person, you're praying for God's will for your life. I hope you are. Pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to do, where He would have you to go. And if the Lord has directed you to go in a certain way, then make sure that you go in that certain way. And the Lord will bless you. Oh, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. But where does God want me to serve Him? Where does God want me as an individual to labor for Him? In what field of service does the Lord want me to seek to win souls in? Now, it may be God's specific will for you to be a farmer, or to be a nurse, or to work in a factory. And if it is, that's the place where God wants you to labor for Him. My friend, the truth is that you don't need to be in full-time service. You don't need to be a minister or a missionary to be a laborer in the place where God wants you to labor for Him. Long before God ever called me into the ministry, long before God ever called me to be a mission, to be a preacher, I served Him in the factory that I worked in. And at that particular time, that's where God wanted me. And as I worked with those men day by day, the Lord gave us opportunities to speak to them and even point some of them to Christ. Oh, my friend, it doesn't matter where we serve the Lord. The most important thing is knowing that where we are serving the Lord is the place where the Lord wants us to serve Him. But here's the challenge. Are you seeking the will of God for your life? That specific will of God for your life. Many years ago, a young man was dying. He had only hours to live, and he had only been a Christian for 1 month. And he was sad because he had so little time to serve the Lord. And as he lay dying, he said to a friend, "I'm not afraid to die. Jesus saves, and He has saved me. But must I go and meet my Savior empty-handed? Must I go and meet my Savior empty-handed?" After Charles Luther, a Baptist minister, heard this story, it prompted him to write a hymn entitled, "Must I Go and Empty-Handed?" And here's the words of the hymn. "Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give Him, lay no trophy at His feet. Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to His will I'd gladly bow. Oh, ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day, ere the night of death o'ertake thee. Strive for souls while still you may. Must I go and empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet Him. Must I empty-handed go?" O child of God, we have only one life, it will soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. God has a plan for your life. Find out what that plan is. Don't drift along in your Christian experience. Find out God's will and do it. The hardest thing is not finding it out, you know.
The hardest thing is doing it. In the fields, now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the secret place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little as much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh, I pray today that the Lord afresh, even from this familiar passage of Scripture, would speak to all of our hearts, and that each one of us would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things shall be added unto us. The Lord wants to use us. The Lord wants to bless us. May we seek his will, and may we do it, and then we will be blessed, and blessed greatly. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the precious word of God, this wonderful passage of Scripture. And Lord, we have only scraped the surface of it. But, O God, we thank thee for our blessed Savior, the Son of God himself. What love, what concern he had for the sheep that were scattered, for the sheep that were shepherdless. O God, in these days, give us such a concern. Give us such a burden. Give us such a zeal. Come, Lord, and touch our hearts and lives afresh. Oh God, I pray for young people here today and even older people. Lord, set your hand upon them. Indeed, set your hand upon us all. But Lord, we pray that from this congregation, indeed from all of our congregations, that you would call young men and young women to go into the harvest fields of this world to serve thee. Oh God, we pray for this because you command us to pray for it. Oh God, have mercy upon our land. We think of the apostate. We think of the false cults. We think, Lord, of how they are spreading their false teaching and false doctrine, propagating a false religion. And how enthusiastic they seem to be in doing it. Just like the Pharisees and the scribes. But oh God, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And instead of leading their congregations to heaven, they're leading their congregations to hell. Instead of pointing men to Jesus, they're pointing men to damnation. Oh God, raise up a band of men in this country, a band of women in this country, who will go forth with the message of Christ and his gospel. Send us revival. Send us an outpouring of thy gracious Holy Spirit. Bless our college. Bless our principal. Bless our lecturers. Oh God, we thank thee for the college we have and for the teaching that the young people get. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill the Bible college. We ask thee, Heavenly Father, that you would move by your gracious Holy Spirit. And, O God, come again. And to thee, Lord, we'll give the praise, the glory, and every bit of the honor. For us in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.